This morning we're going to go to a couple of different places, all in the Gospels, because I think that's a great place to start. I'm going to start out this morning with three short segments of larger pictures, okay? You know, they always say that a picture is worth more than 1,000 words. You know, you can see it, you can visualize it. And through the centuries, that's the way I feel about my ministry. Through my lifetime, I've looked and I can visualize in my mind what took place at that time. And so I want to walk from a great statement: I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, to understand God, you need to understand that. Who God was yesterday, He's still the same today, and He will be that forever. I mean, He has not changed. We change, and He knew that, and He expects that from us. He expects us to change and to be contemporary to the time that we live in, and that's important. You know, we wouldn't want to all come in here maybe like the Amish in some regard, and I have great respect for Amish, but I'm sorry, the women, you don't have to sit on one side and men sit on the other side. That's a good thing, because it really smell well on one side and stink on the other side. So we're glad that you all share that good stuff for each one of us. But this morning, the first passage comes out of Matthew 19, and I want to just give you, it's Matthew 19, verse 22. It's just a segment of it. The rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful. And now in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and verse 19, this is assigned to the rich fool. And he says, "So eat, drink, and be merry." The last one is in the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel also, in the 23rd verse. And this was assigned to the rich man. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You see, the Spirit of God has manipulated what I'm going to call this morning a sacred camera to take a picture. And in my mind, I can see all of these events taking place. I can see a rich young ruler, I can see a rich fool, and I can see a rich man in the story of Lazarus. But I know that there's three likenesses that go right here, and they could be as one of the pictures that we have in our own home. We have a beautiful, large painting as you come in our entryway, and it shows a man and his wife as they're going into the frontier. The second caption of it, it's right there in all in one segment. It just blends through the wooded areas. The second segment is with a child. The third segment is with a cross because of a death. And you spend time, you really have to study that to realize what has transpired in that man's life. The excitement of a new life out in the wilderness, actually in the frontier of probably of early America, and then to lose his wife and child. So it's, and a city in the background too. Now, there was never a city. Maybe a little village, but not a city. And now there's a city. You see, God has a way of painting pictures. Jesus had a way of describing something so clear that you could see it. You could see exactly what he was talking about. And this, I don't want to be presumptuous today, but I want to do this for the sake of the ministry that I have and the preaching I want to give to you this morning, is that I can see these in a sequence. And if you know the stories of, basically, we begin with that story of the rich young ruler. We all know what took place. If you read the word, you understand that he came to Jesus and all the things that he did. But I want to kind of link every bit of this together, and I hope you'll bear with me as I do that. Because if you put all three of these pictures together, they represent a trend. They represent a trend, they represent a destiny of a soul that would not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their lives. So, if you will, I just want to think, I think that God has a way of putting things together that gives to us a clear picture of what someone would do without him, and that some, when they chase after a goal that wasn't designed by God but was designed by man. So in the very first one, that's found in Matthew's gospel in the 19th chapter, it is that story of the rich young ruler. As he comes to Jesus, with all the things that that he would want in life. He'd already possessed so many things. He possessed every quality that I have met in young people that are entrepreneurs today. They can get out and get out. They have the qualifications. They have the worldly success. But he comes to Jesus. He said, "This one thing I lack." And he says, "What good thing must I do?" Well, therein is a problem right there. What one good thing must I do? Well, the one good thing that I must do cannot be meriting salvation. I didn't merit it. It's a gift. It's something that God gave to me. It's what Christ provided for me. It's not something that I could work my way to get it. But now this young man, after talking to Jesus, he's looking for security, as we all have. We've all looked for security. We want to know that at the end of this life, we are going to be dwelling in the place with God. We don't want to think about the other side of that. We don't want to go there. So he's in a valley of decision right now. And he's trying to find a thing. He comes enthusiastically. And we see that in the very things he said. He was very sincere as he inquired of what Christ could do. And he listened. He listened attentively. You know, that's something we lack a lot of today. Our minds are buzzing around with everything else in life. But this young man listened very attentively. And there was great hope for that. And Jesus saw that. There was great hope in everything that this young man was doing. All the things that he wanted. Then he proudly considers. You remember what Jesus said to him? He said, "You're close. Now this is what I think you need to do. You need to sell everything you got. Give it away. Come to me. Come follow me." And so he's standing there. And he stubbornly resists. He doesn't say it, but you can see it in my mind. I can see it in a heart, because I'm sure I've been there before. Some things you're asked to do and you stubbornly resist it. But then sadly, and it is very sad, that he turns away. And that's tragic. It's extreme tragedy, because here he was listening to two sides volleying for his soul. They're looking after eternity right here. They're looking for those voices that were for good and for evil. They're looking for things that said, "How are you going to?" And I can see. It's like the door we had out here. You know, when Jesus knocks on the door, and we remember those paintings. You know, it said, "What is he there for? We got to open the door." Well, mercy was knocking at this young man's soul, but he was knocking in vain. He was knocking in vain because he wasn't going to open that door. Even though truth was pleading with him. Truth was asking, wanting to get into it, but it was to no avail. His conscience was saying to him, "This is right." But to his conscience, he was saying, "No, I'm not going to do it." So therefore, conscience was thrown out and was trampled under his feet. Why? Because the die is cast. It's there. He's made that decision. And the Word of God says that he went away sorrowful. What a description. But I can see that in my mind also. And I know that in my heart, watching people. I watch people that have, just as this young man, with tears flowing down their cheeks, and they're embarrassed, and they're maybe their lip was trembling, and I've seen that happen too. They were not going to give in to any kind of plea. Anything that can be done. And I'm glad that people don't give in to some plea of a preacher. But they give in to what the Spirit is saying. And they know the difference. When the Holy Spirit speaks, and he was speaking at this time, because Jesus himself was doing it. He was the one that was saying everything that he said to him. But there was something about this young man that he could not give in to that very part right there. His heart's broken. He was so engaged in accomplishing one more thing in life for eternity. But now he's walking away with a heart that's broken. He was brought to the high point, to the when the sun is the brightest. And at that point, he had every opportunity to secure the thing that he wanted the most, the security. But then he would turn away, and the shadows would come into his life, and he would depart. He would depart into darkness, to oppression. Because we know that's where Satan leads. We know that we may have it okay right now, but I cannot believe that his heart was not aching. His heart was not aching because he was unwilling to receive the Savior. And at the same moment as he stepped away, he stepped into the snare of Satan. And it's sad, but it is so true. Can you imagine turning away from pure holiness? Someone that was pure, that was giving everything for him. And now really, the only thing he had to look forward to would be the flip side of that coin. And that would be what was waiting ahead at the end. And it would be the horrors of hell. It would just be that. That's what it is. He was forsaking on one hand every opportunity given to him. He listened to a voice of truth. You know, and why was he not moved by that voice of truth? I think he was. I think truly in his heart, he knew what was right. Truly in his heart, he knew what he needed to do. He was standing in the presence of the only one that offered life. The other one only offers death. But he was willingly to reject that and to stumble into darkness. To stumble into... He came with such hope, but it would end so miserably right there. What was he clutching? Well, he wasn't clutching Jesus. He wasn't clutching the Savior. He was clutching his possessions. And that's what he thought was going to take care of it. And it was his possessions. The possessions that he had were now possessing him. They were more important than anything to him. I got to hang on to this right here. How many of us have things that we would not want to give up? But when it came right down to it, would you give it up for Jesus? How much of him do you want? I asked you that last Sunday. How much of Christ do you really want? And how many of us, or those that we know, how many of those really occupy the same space that this young man occupies today? It's a picture. And that's a picture of what I call yesterday. But moving on, how about a picture of today? You know, many of us can look to the past and see yesterday very clearly. But how about today? Have you ever stopped to think that the choices of yesterday are supposed to be the blossoms of today? There's something, the seed that was planted back here is supposed to blossom today. It's supposed to be everything that we have. It's supposed to be brought to fruition. It was supposed to, all these supposed to take. But in this young man's life, the God of this age was blessing him. The God of this age were pouring out all of the bounties, if you will, upon him. All the successes materially, all the business adventures, everything was going great, was going this way. Money had multiplied, lands, everything about. I mean, his fame, well, it's fabulous. I mean, this young man was known. We call him the rich young ruler right there. He had position. He had everything that this world says that is important. But when you stop and you look at the picture, what does it really paint? What does it really, really say right here? The second passage was found in Luke's Gospel in the 12th chapter. And he's called the rich fool. And in this passage, it speaks about a man that says, oh, my pantries are full, the crops are coming in, my barns are stuffed, they're bulging out. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to fill it. And I'm going to say to my soul, oh, everything is great. You have much increase for all of your life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because everything's cool. And that's what he says. He's so excited about what he has. And that's the song that he... Going down through the mansion that he lived in, he's singing that song, sold thou as much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But then the Spirit of God says, you poor fool. Yeah, that's what he calls him, a poor fool. You don't realize that the game, it's not over until the last quarter's played. It's not over until the last out is made. It's not over, excuse me, but it is a statement that is made all the time. It's not over until the fat lady sings, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't write it. I just know that, I remember that since I was a kid, but that's what it, I know. Yeah, well, never mind, let's go on. It's not over until you read the last paragraph of the last chapter of the book. Because things do change. It's not completed yet. None of these things have come to pass. And it's too bad. It's too bad that we cannot turn the facts around. But the facts are the facts. And they're insistent. They follow after everything that this young man saw yesterday. But now we're seeing today in something totally different. The Bible says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." That's why I call it the second picture. And I call it really for them today to a rich fool. That today was the most important. It's terrible. It's terrible to think that the final image of everything that seemed so positive, you know, that everything was going great, that he had all of these things, but it's designated as what was going to take place, and this is that third picture, forever. Can you see that? Yesterday it was here, a young man. Today was a man of means that profited by the work that he had done, and I say it was work. All the things he did, he did that by his own hands and his ingenuity, all the things that he did. But now when you step over here, and this is forever, this is what God is saying as he describes to us in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I hope you recall that same thing. Is it possible it's the same man? Is it? If it is, I could see how it could be. I can see how it came from a young man that had every opportunity but rejected that opportunity to a man that made great in life. He did all the right things. He said all the right things. He had the right connections. Did all these kind of things. And I can see how it could be at the end of life. The end of life in this world that he ran into this very thing. And it was called death. And death is what comes to all of us. It's going to be. But I love the fact that it's only a handmaiden to Christ, because Christ gave that to God on Calvary. He made sure that everything about it was tended to right then. All the duties that death does now is just says your time's up. And that's what he's there for right there. And he will deliver so many. He will deliver to their heavenly home. But yet to so many, to an eternity where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. And in hell, the Bible says about what's taking place forever. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. We live in time. What is time? Well, time is that facet that we walk through preparing for eternity. That's what it's there for. And that's the only reason it's there. We have a determination, and it happens in this world right now, where we're going to end up at the end of our lives. Where is it going to go? What's it going to do? Here was the choices that he had. He had two choices in front of him, two destinies. He had this present world in which he wanted to make all the things, but he had to choose, because we know that life is like a vapor. It passes away so quickly. I remember as a young man preaching, and then now as an old man preaching. Well, an older man preaching. Come on, give me some. Help me out here on that right there. But I know this, that life vanishes so quickly, and it goes away. The Bible said way back there, remember what he said about the young man? He said he went away sorrowful. That's what that young man did. Is there any difference today? Is there any difference in people's lives that you hang on to something? You build up your life and you got all these goods and everything. You got the nice house. You got everything going for you. You got everything that a person in this world may want. in the way of riches and all the other things. But when you come right down to it, you're still empty. Because you're not going to take it with you. I mean, are you going to cling to the gold? Well, I can tell you right now, those fingers, they don't work so well when you're dead. They're not clinging to anything. They've been put in a repose so for people to walk by and look at you in a casket. But in reality, they're just empty. That body's empty. There's nothing that lies within that body. Earth's rich man is now a pauper. Earth's rich man that had everything going for him, he has nothing going for him in eternity. And that's sad. It's sad because I'm definitely not down on people that have money. I'm thrilled. I mean, if they didn't have money, I wouldn't have a job. If we didn't have something, we couldn't keep the lights on. We couldn't do any of those things without that money. But when you get right down to it, death is the fixing agent. And it's the fixing agent. It's the destiny of a man. It all comes down to this last thing. And with like a dagger into the heart. It's the end of it all right there. And the word says, he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And so when that night comes and the mortal flesh is finished, when we come to that place that we're giving it up, I can tell you this, grace is over. You know, I know we have those that are in, that follow after Christ also to believe that there's another opportunity later. I'm here to tell you there's not. There's not. There's no purgatory out there to get to. There's nothing there. You'll make your choice for Christ. You'll make it here. You won't make it. You're going to either decide now or you won't. And so when we look at that right there, that there's an endlessness. And that's why they call it forever. That's why they say that this is what happened. This earth-born choice that you make today will last forever. Whether it's as a young man yesterday or an older man or a seasoned person in the middle here today or what it's going to be when you get over here forever. That choice has already been made. It was made in time, but it's decided in eternity. All the instruments of grace, they're over. In God's mercy that he has given. And what happens then? Our souls. The only thing that remains within us right there. God has been sending errands of mercy, his angels upon us for all of our lives. And now we stand right there. And what is it? He's gone. He's gone. It's just over. There's no ray of light shining. There's nothing taking place. Nothing can ever kindle a light in that darkness. Because the darkness has surrounded this man all the way. There's no voice of encouragement. There's nothing going to stand there that says, hey, everything is going to be okay. No, the ship's broken up. There's no captain that's going to steer it to your heavenly home. There's no haven of rest, as they used to talk about all the time. Those without Jesus Christ will spend an eternity without Jesus Christ. But it was our choice. And this choice of this man, he's gone. No matter how much he pleaded in that wide gap that with Lazarus over here in Abraham's bosom and the rich man over here, he pleaded, send Lazarus a drop of water on my tongue or send him to my brothers. I've got five. I don't want them to come to this place. You see, we are all children of destiny. Every one of us are. And right now, today is our destiny. Our destiny to make a decision of what we're going to choose for a lifetime. You say, well, I don't think it's that important. Well, then you've already made a choice. You've made your choice right there. And that question is always going to be the same because it's Jesus that presented every one of these. I didn't. They're written right here in his word. And that's why I asked you last week, I asked you today, what will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What are you going to do with him? Will your heart, as weak as we can be at times, will your heart receive him for eternal life? Or are we going to choose what is presented to us in this world and is finished when we are gone? Will you reject him? You reject him by no voting for him. You reject him by not doing the things that he has called us to do. Or are you ready to make a decision? Are you ready to make a decision that says, my song that I'm going to sing is one like we sang this morning, Jesus, only Jesus. That's the only one that counts right there. But soon that's going to pass. We pulled out an oldie out of there to sing this morning. I thought, my goodness, here we go. Thank you, Terrence, for all that good insight on that one right there. This man that is called forever has been plunged into darkness. And it is forever. It's not going to change. It will always be. It will be despair. Soul, you're not going to eat. No, not going to eat. You're not going to drink ever. That's not going to take place. And I sure guarantee you, you're not going to have a lot of merriment. There's none going to be there. That's the great mystery. But it's the mystery that every one of us have. It could seem so far away at times, but it's right here. It's right here in our face. It's saying, are you going to receive life, or are you just going to take your chances? Are you going to follow after what Christ is calling us to do, or are we just simply going to say, oh, well, I'll take my chances? Do we really want to take that chance? I say we don't. Because there is a yesterday, there is a today, and there is a forever. And somewhere down the line, we will face that forever. But today, the final chapter has not been written. Isn't that wonderful? We still have a choice. It's still sitting before us. Maybe you've already made that choice. That's wonderful. And it's everything that we should have. The last picture has not been painted. The last bit of our lives is still before us. God is still extending his mercy and his grace. And he's saying, just come to me. I will make it all right. All you have to do is receive me. All you have to do is make a choice. Where do I want to spend my eternity? Where do I want to spend forever? I know they're portraits. They're simple paintings. But they're paintings that have a consequence. And it's a consequence that every one of us can see all the time. And we can say, well, I'm young and I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Well, I'm in the middle here, and I've still got a lot of life in front of me. I got a lot of work to do, and God obviously must be blessing me, because see how all the things that I prosper with. But is that the indication of your soul? Or is that the indication of how well you manage your business? Or you inherited? Or you did this? You see, the portrait that can be painted and the last chapter that can be written, the last little addendum, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love Paul's ending to his life. I fought a good fight. Wasn't that a good one? I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept my faith. Henceforth, what? It's laid up for me, and it's laid up for all of those that have received Christ, a crown of righteousness. Why? Because we are good in business and we made a lot of money? No. Well, I was very humble. No. Had nothing to do with it. It had everything to do with my decision that said, I choose Jesus. And that comes to every one of us. Has no little things that says, oh, no, you can't get it, and you can get it. No. The opportunity is made for each one of us, but it's our choice to be made. Whether it was yesterday that I did it, today makes that decision that's going to happen forever. Let's pray together.